Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Yutes. We will begin on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amud, the second word where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Kayin Gadol Chaylitz V'Cholsin L'Ishtoi. He can give Chalitza and we can give Chalitza to his wife. In other words, if the Kayin Gadol dies and he leaves over his Almanu and he doesn't have any children, so his brother can give Chalitza, can have Chalitza done, and umiyabmin es ishtoi, and also the brother can make yibum to his sister-in-law, aval hu, but the Kohen Gadol ain't umiyabim, mibnei shehu osur balmona. The Kohen Gadol cannot make yibum to his sister-in-law if his brother dies without children, because the sister-in-law is an almana, and a Kohen Gadol is osur to marry an almana, says the Gemara, Kapasik v'tani loishna mina erusin v'loishna mina nesuin. The Mishnah made a blanket statement that the Kohen Gadol cannot make yibum, whether his sister-in-law became an almana from erusin. Erusin is the same as kedushin, where the marriage was not consummated, and rather there was just kesef kedushin given for the Erison, and Veloishnam and Anasuan. And there's no difference whether she's an Almana after the marriage was consummated, after they became 100% married. When the Kedushin is given, in the time of Chazal, there was like a year period between the Kedushin and the Nesuan, and the Mishnah is not making any chilik whether she is an Almana from a Kedushin status or whether she's an almana from a nesuin status. In both cases, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do yibum. So the Gemara analyzes this. Bishlam min nesuin, we understand if the almana is an almana min nesuin that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do yibum. Why? Havi asay v'lois asay. We find a vayikra, parshas emor, per chof aleph, psukim yud gimel and yud dalid. We find that a Kohen Gadol has a prohibition from marrying an almana, and he also has a mitzvah to marry a psula. So there's an assay of isha b'psula or yikach. He should take a psula, a virgin. And there is a los assay for him to marry an almana, as the pasuk states there, almana ugrusha lo yikach. He's not allowed to marry an almana. So therefore, if she is an almana min anesuin, and she's no longer a psula, so then the Kohen Gadol, by marrying her, would be transgressing a loisasa and an asay. And as we turn to Daf Yud Hasamad Aleph, says the Gemara, ve'ein asay, doich a loisasa v'asay. And the asay of Yibim, as Rashi brings down the Pasuk, Yivama Yavay Olao, that asay of Yibim, we have a rule, b'chol ha-Torah kula, that ein asay, doich a loisasa v'asay. And asay has the ability, as we learned in Yevamos, at the beginning of Yevamos, asay docha los asay. And asay can override, can trump a los asay if it stands in the way of the asay. However, an asay is not strong enough to be docha, a los asay and an asay. So even though the Kohen Gadol has an asay here of Yibam, he cannot be docha the los of asay of Besula Baam of Yikach and the los asay of marrying an almana, elamina erisin. But in the case of almanamina erisin, you're telling me that the Mishnah makes a blanket statement that even almanamina erisin, the Kohen Gadol cannot do yibum. Am I? Why not? Yavoy asay v'yidchalois asay. In the case of erisin, the marriage has not been totally consummated. There has been no bia. She's still a psula. So therefore, if he would do the mitzvah of yibum, he would not be over on the assay of Isha b'psuleo yikach. He would only be over the los assay of Amona v'grusha loy yikach. And then there's only a lois assay standing in his way. So why shouldn't he do the mitzvah of Yibam? Amai yavoy assay v'yitcha lois assay. If the only thing that's standing in his way is a los assay, let the assay of Yibam be doch the los assay of Amona. So the Gemara answers, Me'ikra din, you're right. Min ha-Torah, you're right. Asay doich loisa, but it's a gzera mid-rabbonin. Why? Gzera, be-yurishayna, ata be-yishni, as Rashi explains. The second bia, there's no longer a mitzvah. The entire mitzvah of yibum is only by the first bia. So therefore, we're afraid if we're going to allow the kohen gadol to make yibum, and he's going to make the first bia, he'll make the second bia as well. And there, there's no mitzvah. There's only an aveira of almana lo yikach. And therefore, we don't. The chachamim did not allow him because of gzeira to do the first bia either. And that's why even an almana and an erusin, the kohen gadol cannot do yibum. Tanya nami hachi. We learned like this in a brisa as well. In kodmu ubalu. If all those who are ushered to do yibum, because there's an aveira involved, but if they went ahead and they were boel, they made yibum, so be a rishayna kanu. If they were boel, be a rishayna, they are kona. They did the mitzvah of yibum, so the woman is kanui through yibum to the man. But usher lekaimum, the gears of the bach, but it's usher for these people who are also to marry these women, so they are prohibited from keeping the marriage going. They'll have to divorce the wife, the bia shniya, in the second bia. So the second bia is prohibited because there is no mitzvah of yibum anymore. There's only an avera. So therefore, they shouldn't really have gone into the yibum altogether. But if they did, so their kana, they'll require a get, but they cannot stay married because of the bia shniya. And that is why a kohen gadol cannot do almana min ha'eris and the yibum on her, because the chacham regards to the first bia because of the second bia. And then the Mishnah continues, mes loy meis, if a kohen gadol lost a relative, the relative died, ein o yotzer achar hamita. So he cannot follow the mita, the bed on which the mace is lying. Ela hein nichsen vehu nigla, hein niglen vehu nichse. But rather, when the funeral party, when the entourage goes into, if they're covered, if they're no longer in sight, then he, the kohen gadol, can reveal himself. He then is able to go into that road. In other words, if they made a right turn, so we don't see the funeral procession anymore, then the kohen gadol can go into that street that the funeral procession just departed from. Hein niglen, when they are revealed after the right turn in the other street, v'hu nichse, then he's covered. In other words, he has to stay his distance from the funeral procession, that in any road that the funeral procession is taking, he can't be seen in that same road. When they leave, then he can enter that roadway. That's what the Mishnah says. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in Abraisa, Umin HaMikdash Lo Yetzeh. The Kohen Gadol is usher to go out of the Mikdash. So we learn, Lo Yetzeh Imo, and he cannot go together with the funeral procession. Aval Yetzeh Hu Achrayim. He could go following them. Ketzad, how does he do this? If he's not allowed to go with them, how can he go behind them? The answer is, as the Mishnah stated, Hein Nichsen, they're hidden from view, Vehu Nigla, he's revealed. Hein Niglin, when they're revealed, Vehu Nichsa, as we explained, he cannot be in the same road together. He has to be hidden when they're revealed. When they're hidden from view, then he can appear in that same roadway. And then the Mishnah continued, how far is he allowed to go out of the Beis HaMikdash to follow in this manner, as we just explained, the funeral procession? V'yoytze imoen ad Pesach Shar Ha'ir. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir's shita is that he can go until the gates of the city. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda disagrees and says, Ein yoytze min HaMikdash, he's not allowed to go out of the Mikdash whatsoever, Mishum Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, Umin HaMikdash, Lo Yetze, that he's not allowed to go out of the Beis HaMikdash. And prior to that, the Pasuk said, Ula Aviv Ula Imoy Lo Yetame. He's not allowed to become Tame to his parents, the Kohen Gadol. So, and on that, the Pasuk is saying now that Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze. So we see that a Kohen, who's an Oinein, who has just lost his father or mother, his close relative, is not allowed to go out from the Beis HaMikdash. This is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Shapir Ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is saying very good to Rabbi Meir. What is Rabbi Meir going to do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda just brought? Umin amigdash lo yetze, he shouldn't go out at all. Amalach Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Meir responds. E hachi, if you're going to say that's the pshat, the literal pshat in the pasuk, that he shouldn't leave the base amigdash, so the base nami loy, does that mean that he's like trapped in the base amigdash? He's not even allowed to go out to his house? Ela hachi kamer, balkarchach, we have to learn pshat differently in the pasuk. Min amigdash lo yetze. You know what it means, min amigdash lo yetze? Mikdushasai lo yetze. He should take efforts, as Rashi explains. He should make yaseh chizuk ledvorov, says Rashi on the first small line on the top of the amud. Shalo yigram lotzeis mikdush v'litame. He should make a hecker. He should make a sign, a harchaka, a separation from himself and the funeral procession, so that he makes certain that he will not become tameh and cause through the tumah that he should leave his kedusha. That's the pshat. He is allowed, says Rav Meir, he is allowed to walk out of the base of Migdash. He could follow the procession. As we just said, he's hidden and they're revealed. They're hidden and he's revealed in such a way he's allowed to do it. He should just make sure mikdushasai lo yetze. The kiv and the islay hekeir, the sheet of Rav Meir is that once there's a hecker, in other words, as we explained, that he's not allowed to be in the same roadway as the funeral procession, loyasi laminga. So he's not going to touch it and become contaminated with tumah. So according to Rav Meir, that's sufficient. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to take the pasuk literally. He's not allowed to go out of the base of Migdash. Why? Rabbi Meir says very good that he has a separation from the funeral procession. We're afraid he'll still touch it. Why? Agav merore, as Rashi explains, meriris liboy, because of the bitterness of his heart, he's mourning after his father and mother. Dilma mikri v'asiv enoga. Maybe what will happen, he'll forget. And he will run after the mitah of the mace, and he'll touch it, and he'll come to go out of his kedusha. And that's why Rav Yehuda says it is usur. The Mishnah continues. Ukeshehu menachem acherim. We're quoting now from the Mishnah on Yud Chesam and Aleph. When he is menachem an oval, so derech kolam oivrin bazach rezeh. So the avelim are standing in their spot. The Menachamim are traveling in front of the Avelim and offering them Divrei Nechama, and the Kohen Gadol goes along. So the Kohen Gadol is in the middle. He's flanked on the right side by the Memuna. As we're going to see in the Gemara, the Memuna refers to the Skan Kohen Gadol, the assistant Kohen Gadol. He's on the Kohen Gadol's right side. On the Kohen Gadol's left side are the entire people who, the Om that's being Menachem, the Avelim, and all the way, standing all the way to the left of the Kohen Gadol are the Avelim. Says the Gemara, Kishehu Menachem, Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa, Kishehu Oiver Beshura, when he is passing in the Shura, l'nachem es acherim, to be menachem others, skan u'meshuach she'avar b'minoi, the assistant kohen and the meshuach she'avar are to his right. So the meshuach she'avar wasn't mentioned in our Mishnah. The skan wasn't really mentioned either. The memuna was, but as we'll soon see, the memuna is the skan. And we'll see why the memuna, Tosfos explains why the memuna could not be the meshuach she'avar. What is a meshuach she'avar? A meshuach she'avar is someone who was temporarily acting as the kohen gadol. There was the kohen gadol became tameh, or he had a mum oiver, a temporary mum that disqualified him from doing the avoda. So till he got over his problem, they appointed another kohen, who's called kohen gadol. He's anointed, but she'avar, he's already no longer the kohen gadol because the original kohen gadol came back to his position. So he, with the skan kohen gadol, flank the kohen gadol on the kohen gadol's right side, b'minoi, v'roish beis av v'aveilim v'cholom ismaili. And on the left side of the kohen gadol is the head of the beis av. We know there were 24 mishmaros that did avodah on a rotation basis each week in the Beis HaMikdash, and each day of the week there was a base of. There was one family that did the work that day. They were part of the Mishmar, the weekly Mishmar. The next day, another base of did it. So on that day, when the Kohen Gadol is being Menachem Avelim, so the head of the family that was working that particular day, he will flank the Kohen Gadol on his left side, and the Avelim are on the left side, and all the people who are being Menachem are also on the left side. We'll explain this in greater detail as the Gemara proceeds. Ukishehu oimed b'shura, when he is standing in the Shura, the Kohen Gadol, because now he's on the receiving end of Nechama. He is the Ovel. Umisnachem mei acherim, and others are giving comfort to the Kohen Gadol. So now, again, skan mi yaminai. The skan Kohen Gadol is on the right side of the Kohen Gadol. V'roish beis av v'cholo amismoiloi. And the head of the beis av and all the people are on his left. Avol Meshuach Sha'avar loy asigabeh. You'll notice that when he's being comforted, the Meshuach Sha'avar is not mentioned. Because Einech Nami, the Meshuach Sha'avar is not allowed to be Menachem the Kohen Gadol. Why not? My time, asked the Gemara. The answer is, Chol Shadate. The Kohen Gadol will feel bad. He'll have a Chalisha Sadas. Why? Sover Kachadibi. There is some kind of competition there between the Kohen Gadol and the Meshuach Sha'avar. He was, temporarily, he was the Kohen Gadol also. So there's some natural friction and jealousy between the two Kohanim Gedolim. So the Kohen Gadol will feel that the Meshuach Kohen Gadol is mocking him. He's happy that at the misfortune of his rival, the regular Kohen Gadol. Therefore, they instituted, it would seem, even if the two are great tzaddikim, and they would never have those kinds of thoughts, but yet, loy plug, that all Kohanim who are Meshuach Sha'avar are not allowed to be Menachem the Kohen Gadol. Amar Rav Papa, says Rav Papa, Shema mina mahamas nisa tlas. We learned three halachas from the brisa that we just mentioned. Shema mino, first of all we learn, hainu skan, hainu memuna, that when the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Aleph said that he's flanked on the right side by the memuna, the lashon of the Mishnah was that the memuna is mematzoi, beina lebeina om, the memuna causes the Kohen Gadol to be in the middle. By him being on the right side of the Kohen Gadol, the memuna causes the Kohen Gadol to be in the middle between the and the memuna. So who is the memuna? The memuna is the skan, because in the Mishnah we use the word memuna. In the Brisa we use the word skan. So we learn out the memuna is the skan. Ask the top Tosfos, Haina skan, Haina memuna, maybe it's the Meshuach Sha'avar. So Tosfos gives two terutz. First teretz is because you'd never call Meshuach Sha'avar a memuna. That's a term that he says is used only for skan. The second teretz that Tosfos says is that if you look back to the Mishnah started out with Menachem Acherim, and said that the memuna is mematza, and then it says Ukishehu Misnachem Meacherim Kolam Oimrim Loy Anu Kaparasecha V'hu Oimrim Lem Tizboruch Min Hashemayim. So Tosfos says, although in the second part of the Mishnah, when he's receiving the Nechama, it doesn't say that he's Memutza, that the Memunah is Memutza, but we understand that that Memutza goes not only when he's doing the Nechama, but when he's having the Nechama done to himself, he's also in the middle. So it comes out that the Memunah is Mematzoi when he's receiving the Nechama as well. So we learned that the Meshuach Sha'avar is never there when the Kohen Gadol receives Nechama because of the friction between them, because of the jealousy between them. So we see clearly if the Memuna of the Menachem also relates to the second part of the Mishnah, the Memuna of when the Kohen Gadol is Misnachem, when he's receiving Nechama, so the Memuna is already mentioned there. And we know the Meshuach Sha'avar in the Misnachem is not allowed to be Menachem, the Kohen Gadol. Elamai, who's the Memuna, if the Meshuach Sha'avar is not there, in the Sefer, the Meshuach Sha'avar is only there in the Reisha. If the Memuna is also mentioned in the Sefer, understood to be mentioned in the Sefer, it must be that the Memunah is the Skan Kohen Gadol and not the Meshuch Shavar. Second halacha that we learned from our Mishmah Minah, Avelim Oimdim V'cholam Oivrim. When the Avel is being misnachem, when others are menachem the Avel, he stands and the Om would pass by. How do we see this? We see it very simply, says Rashi. Because if you look at the Braisa, Tana Rabban Kishehu Oiver Beshura, Lenachem Esachem, when the Kohen Gadol was Menachem, he used to pass by. Then it says, Ukishehu Oimed Beshura Umisnachem, Nechem. When the Kohen Gadol was receiving the Chum, it says, he's an Avol, then he is standing. And everybody else is passing by. So we see clearly that the minig was, the Avelim would stand, and the would pass by. And finally, a third halacha shmamina, Avelim l'smoil ha-menachmen he-noimdim. That the Avelim were always to the left of the menachmen. How do we learn this halacha out? Because it says that when the Kohen Gadol was giving nechama, he was in between the skan and the meshur shavar on his right side. And on the left side was the Rosh Beis Av and the Avelim, the Cholam Mismailoi. So we see that the Avelim were to the left of the Kohen Gadol. Now, it's interesting to note that even though the Lashon of the Brice is Avelim, the Cholam Mismailoi, would seem the is more to the left than the Avelim, that's not the Pshat. According to what the Gemara is saying now, the that's also giving Nechama like the Kohen Gadol, they are to the left of the Kohen Gadol, and the Avelim are all the way to the left. The Avelim are standing in line, way to the left of to the extreme left of the Kohen Gadol, and then the Kohen Gadol is in the middle, flanked on the right side by the Memunah and the Meshur Shavar, the Skan and the Meshur Shavar, flanked on the left side by the Rosh Beis Av and the and all of them are marching and being Menachem, the Avelim, that are standing there to receive the Nechama. So even though the Lashon is the Avelim, the Cholam Ismailai, in the sequence, the way they're standing, it's really Kola Om Vavelim Ismailai. The Om is closer to the Kohen Gadol than the Avelim, because the Avelim are on the extreme left, receiving the Nechama. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in Abraisa, Bereshoina hoyu Avelim oimdim v'cholam oivrim. As we just learned in the beginning, the Avelim were standing, and the people would pass by. If the Kohen Gadol was Menachem, then he was one of the people passing by to give Nechama. But what happened was, v'hoyu beiz mishpachas b'Yerushalayim misgaroi zu b'zu. There were two mishpachas in Yerushalayim that were fighting with each other. This one said, I deserve to go first. I deserve to go first. The whole fight erupted. The people would stand, and the Avelim would pass by to stop this infighting of who would go first. And now, there is a simon. Chazar, v'holach v'siper, simon. We're going to learn three halachas, which are all associated with Rabbi Yossi in Sepoiri. One has to do with Chazar, one with Halach, and one with Sipur, as we'll see now in the following Gemara. Amar Rami Bar Abba, Hichzir, this is Chazar. Hichzir Rabbi Yossi as a davar l'yoshnai b'tzipoiri. Rabbi Yossi brought the minig back to the original state in Sepoiri, that what? Sheyiyu avelim oimdim v'cholam oivrim, that the people would stand and everybody else would pass by, instead of the reverse, which we did because of the machlokas. V'omer Rami Bar Abba, a second halacha, hiskan Rabbi Yossi b'tzipoiri. Another thing that Rabbi Yossi instituted in Sepoiri was, shaloi tehei isha mahalcha, this is the second word of the simon, v'holach, a woman should not go b'shuk, u'b'no achra, and her son, her toddler, will be walking behind her. Why? Why can't she go behind? Because of a certain incident that took place. Rashi says, what was the incident? The incident was that she looked behind for her child and she didn't see him. Why? He had been kidnapped. He was brought into a house and then she's frantic. She starts screaming. And then a man comes over to her and says, oh, you're looking for your child? I could show you where it is. Follow me. She followed him inside the house and there he did an aveir with her. So because of that, Maisa, Rabbi Yossi, instituted in Sepoiri, don't let your eyes off your child even for a moment, and therefore your child has to go in front of you and not behind you. And finally, the last thing that Rabbi Yossi instituted in Tzipori, V'amir Rami Bar Abba, Hiskin Rabbi Yossi B'Tzipori, She'yiyu Nashim Misapreis V'Beis HaKisei. This is the third word of the Siman, V'Siper. They should talk in the Beis HaKisei. Rashi says this refers to the bathrooms that were in the field, which everyone used the bathroom, whether it's men and women. And then we were afraid if women would be there, they would not be talking. So Mishum Yichud, we're afraid that a man would walk in, and even if there'd be two women there, he's also to be Miyaka with two women. And therefore, if he hears them talking, so he'll wait till they leave, and then he'll enter. So this was his third takana in Tzipori. Amar Rav Menashe Bar Avis, She'ilis es Rav Yoshia Rabba. I asked the following question of Rav Yoshia Rabba. This, he's called Rabbi Yoshi Rabba, Rashi Menachas tells us, because there's Rabbi Yoshi an Amoira and there's Rabbi Yoshi Atana. And this was Rabbi Yoshi the Tana, and to distinguish, they called him the great Rabbi Yoshi to indicate that this is the Tana. And where did he ask him this Shaila? The Beis Alman, in a Beis Chaim, in a cemetery, the Hutzel, of the city of Hutzel. The Yavit says, why did he ask him this halachic Shaila in... Why does the Gemara tell us where the Shaila took place in the cemetery? Because normally, says the Yavetz, you're also to learn in the cemetery because of Loig LaRush. The mess can't join you. It's like making fun of someone, a poor person. He's unable. So Loig LaRush, you're also to learn Torah. However, if it's Halacha L'maisa in the Geya to the Avelis itself, to the Kvura, so that you are allowed to ask a Shaila even in a cemetery. But Omar Lee, so, and he told me, I asked him apparently how big does the Shura have to be when we're Menachem and Oval after the Kfura, that he has to go through a line where everybody says to him, Hamakim Menachem Eschem, Ein Shura Pchusum Yasar B'nei Adam. There has to be at least 10 people over there. The Ein Avelim and Aminyan. And an Oval is not one of the 10. And there's besides the Oval, you need 10. And it doesn't matter, Bein Shavelim Oimdim V'cholam Oivrim, whether the Avelim are standing and the people are passing by, which was the original way the minig was, and the way Rabbi Yossi and Tzipori brought back the minig, or Bein Shavelim Oivrim V'cholam Oimdim, because of the fighting during that period where they had that the people would stand and the Avelim would pass by, it doesn't matter. But the Shura always has to be 10 people. It doesn't make a difference whether the Avelim are standing or whether the Avelim are moving. Then the Mishnah continued, Ukeshehu misnache me'acherim. When he receives the Chomer Kohen Gadol from others, so the whole kolam arim loy onu kaparasecha, we are the kapora, anything that should happen bad to you, we're accepting on ourselves, we're being mechaper you. The huaymer lam tizbarach v'nishmaim, and the Kohen Gadol told them, may you be blessed from Hashem in Shamayim. Iboyle, the Gemara has a question. Ki menachem hu achrini, when he is menachem others, heichi amrlu, what does he say to them? The Mishnah only told us what he says when they are menachem him. The Mishnah does not say what he said when he's menachem others. The Gemara wants to know, what do you say? What did he say? Toshima, I'll bring you from a brisa. V'hu oimer tenachemu. Tisnechamu. And he should say, may you be comforted. So what's, it doesn't say in what situation, whether he's being menachem others, or whether they're being menachem him. So the Gemara says, hey, Chidami, let's figure out what this is talking about. If it's speaking about when others are menachem, the Kohen Gadol, Omar Lahu, Ihu Tisnachamu, he'll say to them, may you be comforted. That doesn't make sense. Why? Nachsha Karamilu. He's giving them a bad omen. And as he's saying to them, you're comforting me, may you be comforted. It's like saying that you're going to become a Velim also, and you'll need comfort as well. Why would he say such a bad thing to them? Elwa must be, ki menachem lachrini, omar lehu tisnachamu, must be that these are the words that the Kohen Gadol says when he's doing the nichem to others. Shmami noy nichlam, it's arrived from here, that's what the Kohen Gadol said when he was menachem acherim, tisnachamu. Then the Mishnah continued. We switch from Kohen Gadol to Melech. HaMelech loydon v'loydon noisoi, loymeid v'loymeid noisoi. We don't judge a king. He can't judge. We don't testify against the king, and he cannot testify either. Amar Rabbi Yosef, said Rabbi Yosef, Lo Yishanu, when is this halacha stated? Ela Malchei Yisrael. This only refers to Malchei Yisrael. Avo, Malchei Beis David, but if they were from Yehuda, from the house of David, Don V'Donin Oysan, the king could judge, he could be a Dayan, and we can judge him. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says in Yirmiah, Beis David, Koyom Hashem, Dainu L'Boiker Mishpat, you should judge in the morning the judgment. And so we see clearly that the Beis David could be Dayanim. Ve'i loy dainin and lay. And if we do not have the ability to judge a melech Beis David, inu hechadaini, how could they be judges? Voksiv, the Pasuk says, Hiskoishishu v'koishu. Ve'amar Ishlok is what's proud in that Pasuk. The word koishu, hiskoishu, means adorn yourself, beautify yourself. And that's first correct yourself, then go correct others. So you're telling me that the Beis David can be dayanim. Implicit in that is that they can also be judged. Because if they could not be judged, then how could they judge others? First put your own house in order. So if they can judge others, it must be that they can be judged as well. So Malchei Beis David, don v'donin, I son. The Gemara wants to know, why are Malchei Yisrael different than Malchei Beis David? El Malchei Yisrael, my time aloy. The Gemara answered, Mishum I show you. Because of a story that happened. The Avde, the Yane Malka, the Eved of Yane HaMelech, Kotal, he killed someone. Kotal Nafsha, Omar Lehu, Shimon Ben Shetach Rechamim, Shimon Ben Shetach Setach Rechamim, Tenu Einechem Boy, V'nidoynu, put your eyes in him. In Yanai Amelech, don't get nispol from Yanai Amelech. You're going to be afraid that he's going to do something. You have to judge him like Sagur Mipnei Ish. Don't be petrified of anyone. Rabbi Yisrael wants you to judge them. Sholchulei, so they send to Yanai Amelech. Avdecha Kotol Nafsha, your Eved killed someone. Shadre Lehu, so he sent the Eved to get a psak. Bezdin, what should happen? The Eved should be killed for killing somebody else. Sholchu lei, so the Bezdin sent to Yanei HaMelech, Ta ant nami lachi, don't just send us your Eved, you have to appear in court as well. Why? Because the Pasuk says, concerning Eshor HaNiskel, Vahuad Bibal of Amra Taira, that the owner of the shore has to be warned. Yavoi Bala Shor V'yamid Al Shor Roi. The owner of the shore has to come. When Bezdin is going to decide whether they should kill the shore and this girl or not, so this is going to cause a loss of money to the owner. So the owner has to come and be there when Bezdin does their din. So Rashi explains that since Yanai, this is your Eved, and if we are going to kill him because he killed somebody else, it's going to affect you. So this is like the same case of a shor. So you have to be there during the judgment as well. Also, he came. Bavi Yosef, he sat down. Armalei Shimon ben Shetach, Shimon ben Shetach said, Yanei Amelech, Amoid al Raglech v'idubach. Stand up and let the Edom testify what happened against your Eved. You're not standing up for Bezdin. You're standing up in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Mephoshim explained, wants the world, one of those three things is, one is Din. There has to be justice in the world. That's why you're standing, because you're standing in front of Hashem. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, they have to stand up in front of the Bezdin. Amar loy, so Yanni responded to Shimon ben Shetach, loy kishetoymer ata, I'm not listening to you, elekamashi yamer chavarecha. Let's say, see if everybody in the court agrees with you that I should be prosecuted. As we turn to Daf Yutesamid Beis, nifne li yaminoi, so he turned to his right side, Shimon ben Shetach looked to the right, if his fellow Dayanim would back him up. Kofshu Pnei Bakarka. So they hid their faces in the ground. Nifnel, they were, Rashi explains, they were petrified from Yanai HaMelech. Eventually, Yanai killed out all the Chachamim, the Gemara and Kedushin, except for his brother-in-law, Shimon ben Shetach, who was hidden by Yanai's wife, the sister of Shimon ben Shetach. So they were afraid of Yanai HaMelech. Nifna l'smorli, he looked at the dayanim to his left, v'kafshu p'nei mekarka. They also, they put their faces in the ground. They acted, the Marsha says, as if they're deep in meditation. They don't know what's happening around them. Amar lohen Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach said to the dayanim, Ba'ali machshav esatem. Are you acting as if you're deep in meditation and you don't have the strength of conviction to stand up to Yanei HaMelech? Yavoi Baal Machshavis v'yifrimachem. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Yedea Machshavis, let him come and punish you. Miyad bo Gavriel, Gavriel came, v'choftim v'karka, he hit them into the ground, umesu, they all died. Ba'isasho Amru, this is the Maisa Shoya. Because of this Maisa, they said, Melech, loydon v'loydon noisoi, loymeid v'loymeid noisoi. Because of this is specifically by Melech Yisrael, because by Melech Beis David, we saw it, the Pasuk says that they should be dayanim. But by Melech Yisrael, because of this Maisa, loydon v'loydon noisoi, loymeid v'loymeid noisoi. So Toisus at the bottom of Yutes Amid Aleph, Divrei Maschil, Yanei HaMelech, Asakasha, from the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed, where the Gemara tells us that this halacha, that they both have to stand up, is a halacha that we don't want favoritism. We don't want one standing and one sitting. Just like the din is, one is not supposed to come to the Besdin wearing a fancy Shabbos clothing, and the other one comes in like a pauper, because then the dayanim are apt to go with the one who looks prestigious. They have to all be equal. So, says Tosfos, why did Shimon ben Shetach insist that Yanei HaMelech should stand up? All you need is that Yanei HaMelech should say to his other litigant that's against him, let's both sit down. There was an easy eitzah over here. Why do you have to make a confrontation with Yanei HaMelech? So Tosfos answers that two terutzim. Either the dinei nefesh shiny, that's only by dinei mominus, but dinei nefesh is, there is no such option. It's not just because of favoritism. One should stand and one should sit. You don't want to give one an advantage over the other. But even by din and nefashis, they have to stand. Inami, says Tosfos, here was a case of Kabbalas Eidus. They were listening to the Eidim who saw the Eved kill the other person. And Kabbalas Eidus has halacha like Gemar Din. And by Gemar Din, we learn in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that Divrei HaKol, the Yonim, be yeshivu bali dinim b'amida. The halacha is that the dayanim sit down and the bali din stand up. And since it was Kabbalas Eidus here, Yanei had to stand. Ve'im kein. And this is even a din by dinim mominus. Now Tosfos says something which is not something that is acted on in a Beis Din today. And we have to understand why not. Tosfos says, Ve'im kein, yesh li zor, kishe Beis Din mayshiv in shnei bali dinim, shelo yeshu b'shas kabbalas ha'edus, v'loi b'shas gmar din, d'shas kabbalas ha'edus, k'moy gmar din choshev. So Tosfos says that we have to make sure that when you have a din Torah, by kabbalas ha'edus and by gmar din, the dayanim have to sit and the bali din have to stand. The question is that this is not followed b'zman hazeh. So I asked my son, Rav David Grossman Shalita, the head of the Beis Havad L'Nyani Mishpat, if this is done in practice, and he said, no. Why is it not done? The Beis Din does not insist that the Bali Dinim stand up during Kabbalas Eidus. Why not? So number one, the Sma in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Yud Zayin, Sif Beis, the Sma there, Sif Katan Hay, says that this Avil on the Mechaber there, Avil B'Shas Gmar Din Shneim Ba'Mida Lichatchila. There's a Lichatchila Din that they should stand. It brings the Sma from the Tur, the Rosh, the Run, B'Shem Rajba, B'Di'evit It's Mutter, for two reasons. Number one, this pasuk that we brought, V'Amdu Shnei Anoshim, that's only an Asmachta B'Alma. It's only a Mitzvah B'Alma, but it's not Ma'akiv B'Di'evit. Secondly, it's only in the time of Elohim. It's only in the time of Omdu Shnei Anashim Ufnei Elohim when there was Smuchet. But since Bizman is there, we don't have people who are Samach Ishmi Piyish from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Dayanim are not Smuchen, then there's no halacha, even Lechatchila Bizman is there. So in the time of Smuchen, there was Lechatchila, but the evidence mutter. In our time, even Lechatchila is not necessary. But my son went on to tell me that Bechlal, the Shach says there's nobody today who's able to paskin al pi din. Today, when we go to Bezdin, it's all linyane pshara, to make a pshara. And the Sma himself, in Simen Hei and Choshe Mishpat, Sif Katan Zion says, ain't done in Balayla. There's a loch, you can't make a din Torah at night. Yet we have dinei Torah at night. How does that work? In Nisratzu Shnei Atstadim L'doinim Balayla, Mutter L'doinim. Shalai Gora Mikibla Aleim Karv Apostle. The halacha is that a Karv Apostle is not allowed to be a Dayan. But if the two litigants agree that a Karv could be the Dayan, or Apostle could be the Dayan, it's acceptable. This is only by Dine Mominus. Because by Dine Mominus, where one has to agree to part with his money and give it over to the other one, so there, it works with Heskim. If they both agree that the Apostle or Karv should be a Dayan, or they both agree they should come at night, even though normally we don't have a Din Torah at night, or our halacha, they both agree that we're not going to stand up in front of the Dayanim. So in all of these matters, and that's the way the Beis Din works today with Pshara, means that it's like they're mekabel on themselves, there's a heskin between them to allow it, all these various halachas, that I'm going to give you the money, even if we don't keep all the normal dinim of Beis Din. So that might be another special reason why Bizman is that's not Negeya. If someone wants to know more about the Beis Din process, there's a very good series that's on the OU website of Choshe Mishpat. Reb David Cohen Shlita discusses in numerous shiurim exactly Bizman Hazeh, the whole Beis Din process. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. We're speaking now about a melech, and the Mishnah says, Loi chaylet v'loi chaltzen l'ishtoi. Loi miyabim v'loi miyabim l'ishtoi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im rotzalach l'itzoi l'yabim zochel atoiv. The melech has an option to make yibim or chalitza, and he's even praiseworthy. Amru loy ain't shayim loy. So the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't listen to him. Says the Gemara, loy chayletz v'loy chalsin eini. How could Rabbi Yehuda say this halacha? And as the Chachamim, we understand very well. As Rashi explains, yibim and chalitza are both things that are not covetic for a melech. Chalitza is for sure not covet. He has come to Beis Din and he's spat at, so that's for sure not covet a melech. Yibim is not a covet because the child that he will have from the Yevama will not be called on his name, it will be called on his deceased brother's name. That's also not covet a melech. And that's why he doesn't do it. And as far as him doing yibim or chalitza, he doesn't do chalitza and yibim. We just explained it's not coveting. What about doing chalitza and yibim to the melech if the melech dies, to his almana? So yibim we don't do because you can't marry the wife of a king, and once you can't do yibim, you can't do chalitza either. So that's why we understand the chacham across the board, he can't do yibim or chalitza, we can't do yibim or chalitza to him. We don't understand Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if the king wants to do yibim or chalitza, zochel l'toiv. How could that be? Eini v'omer Rav Ashi, afilim on the omer nasi. Shemachal kvodi kvodi machal, but melech shemachal kvodi ein kvodi machal. Shenemar stem toisim alecha melech, sheteim asar alecha. We learn from the repetition of soim tos melech melech, you should place a melech on yourself, that you should have fear from the melech. So even if I say that a nasi could be mochel on his kovid, but a melech doesn't have the option to be mochel. So what's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that a melech could do yibim and chalitza, which are both bizoyendika things, as we explained, for a king to do? I melech shemochel kvodeh, ein kvodeh mochel. The Gemara answers, mitzvah shiny. When you do a mitzvah, it's different. You're doing a mitzvah, that's not something that's derogatory against the kovid of the melech. So Tosfos here asks from a Gemara in Ksubis, which in our Gemara is written in the Tosfos, Mitzvah Shiny, it's written Ksubis Daf Tez Zayin. Actually, if you look it up, it's Ksubis Daf Yud Zayin. So there the Gemara brings down a halacha, Mavirnes Hameis Mufnei Akala, Vizeh Vizeh Mufnei Melech Yisrael. A king goes first, even in front of a Kala. Omru Alav Al Agripas HaMelech She'Avram Mufnei Kala V'Shibchu Chachomim. Agrifas went away from the Kala, and the Chacham praised him. So the Gemara says, Shepchu, They praised him, Echlal de Shaparavit, he did well. So the Gemara answers, you know what was over there? There was a prashas drachim. There was a separation of the way. So when Agrifas went away from the Kala, it wasn't obvious to anyone that he was going away, and therefore there was no problem of Mel Shemachal Kvadi Machal. Frank Taisvis, why didn't the Gemara and Ksubis say mitzvah shiny like we have over here? So Taisvis answers that over there where it's a covet thing, so we say that where there's a chasen kala, their covet of chasen kala is trumped by the covet of the melech. So there's no mitzvah for the melech b'chlal. Masha Enkin over here where there's a mitzvah of yibam, there the Gemara says, mitzvah shine thee. Continues the Gemara, ve'ein noisin, the Mishnah said further, ve'ein noisin amanasa, we do not marry the amana of a king. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, noisi amelech amanasa shamelech, a king could marry the amana of a king. Shekem at Sina B'David, we find by David, Shenas Amanas Shal Shal, he married the Amon of Shal, Shenemar Ve'etnu Lecha Esbeis Adonecha, She'adonecha B'chekecha, that David was told that he will receive the house of Shal and the wives of Shal, and he will be able to live with them. So, what do the Rabbanan answer to Rabbi Yehuda, who shows us that a Melech could marry the Amon of another Melech? The Chachamim make a statement across the board that even a melech can't marry the amon of another melech. Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham responded to Rabbi Yehuda. You know what it meant? That ve'etnu l'cha espeis adonecha v'nesheya adonecha doesn't mean the wives of the king, but rather it means the nashim haro'uyus lo mibeis ha-melech. The women who were mutter to David, he will receive them from the beis ha-melech. Uman my ninu, who are those women? Not the wives of Shaul, but the daughters of Shaul. Meirav u'michal, that these were the wives of David. Shaul u'tamid of es Rabbi Yossi. Now we want to understand. We understand the Chachamim answered Rabbi Yehuda that the wives are us or only the daughters are. But the question is, how is David HaMelech allowed to marry two sisters? The Chayeyim, not one after the other, but while they're both alive, he married Meirav u'michal. Heich Nasa, they asked that question, the Talmidim to Rabbi Yossi. Heich Nasa, David Shteachoyes B'chayein. While they were alive, how could he marry Merv and Michal? Amar Lohen, so he responded, Michal Achar, Misas Merv Nasa. He married Michal after the death of Merv. They were not married at the same time. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, he disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, and he says, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Aymer, Kedushe tos hoyloi b'merv. He was never married. David HaMelech thought he was married until Shaul explained to him that he's not married to Merav. Shenemar. How do we see this from the Psukim? Because David asked Shaul to give him Michal. We'll soon see the story. David gave 100 foreskins, orlois, of Plishtim to Shaul. And this would be the Kiddushin for Michal. Tana es ishti es Michal. Give me my wife Michal. Asher arasta li b'mei arolis plishtim. Which she became a kudeshes to me through the 100 orlis of the plishtim. My Talmud, how do we see in this pasuk? That he was not married to Merav. That there was Kiddushin tos, there was a mistake. Amar Papa, because we're medayik, he said, give me my wife Michal. Michal ishti v'lo Merav ishti. Michal is my wife. But Merv is not my wife. My Kedusha Tos. Now the Gemara wants to understand why, in fact, was his Kedusha to Merv not good? Why was there a mistake? Because Shaul said to David, V'ho Yehoish, it will be when Goliath was threatening Klal Yisrael, the man that will come, Asher Yerkena, who will kill Goliath, Yashrenu HaMelech Oishigal, the king will make him very rich. Ozel Katle, so David killed Goliath. And he wanted to marry the king's daughter, Merv. Amar Loi, Shaul refused. Because Shaul says, I didn't get any kedushin from you. The only kedushin that you're trying to give me for Merv is to be mochel de shibut. The obligation that I said, I'll make you rich, whoever kills Goliath. So you're saying, keep your money. And that should be considered kesef kedushin. Merv at that time was a katana. So you have to give the kesef kedushin to the father. So by David being mochel de shibut, the obligation of Shaul to make him rich, that's like giving money. Says Shaul, it's not like giving me money. Why? Milva islach gaboy. I owe you money. You cannot use an IOU, a milva, an obligation, any obligation. We learned in Kedushin, davova mebeis, v'amekadosh b'milva, einu mekadoshes. If the woman owes money to the man, and the man says to the woman, I'm freeing you from your obligation, I'm mochel d'chov, and that I'm freeing you from the obligation should be considered as if I'm giving you kesef kedushin, einu mekadoshes. It's not a kedushin, as Rashi there in Vav Amabez and kedushin explains, because milva loitzah nitna. Milva is, when I lend you money, that money is gone. You're going to spend it. You're going to go shopping with it. And then you have to return to me other money. But the money I originally gave you is gone. So then I'm not giving you any new money for kesef kedushin. And therefore, mekadosh milva, einu mekadoshes. Who had din here? Where there wasn't a loan, but it was an obligation from Shaul to give David, make him rich. So that obligation is likewise. Shaul never got any new money. The obligation, that's old money. That's like a loan, comparable to a loan, and ain't a mekadeshes. Ozel yovel adriel. Therefore, Shaul felt that David was not mekadeshes to Meirav, and he gave Meirav to Adriel. How do we know that? The Chassid of the Pasuk says, Vayhiba eist heis es Meirav bashola David. When he should have given Meirav to David, Rashi brings the end of the Pasuk, he gave her to Adriel instead. Omar lei, so Shaul said to David, Iboy is the etnach Michal. I have another daughter, Michal. If you want Michal, zil isli mei arolis plishtim. Kill 100 plishtim. Give me their arolis. Ozil isli, so he killed them. He brought the foreskins. Omar lei, so Shaul said, no, nothing doing. Milvu pruta islach gaboy. You have a milva, I owe you money. I didn't yet make you rich. You have the arolis are worth a pruta, a small amount. So Shaul Sover, Milva Pruta, Daita Milva. When a person is Mekadosh a woman, both with a Milva and a Pruta, what he really has his mind on is the millions of dollars that Shaul was supposed to give David to make him rich. He's not thinking about the Pruta of the foreskins, of the 100 foreskins that are worth a Pruta. The David Sover, no. Milva Pruta, Daita Pruta, that he has in mind the Pruta. He doesn't have in mind the Milva. The Milva is no good. Hamakash b'milva, you told me Zaini Mekadeshes. Now I'm having das on the pruta, and therefore she is married to me. The boy Sema. Or the Gemara says we can tell you another pshat in the machlokas between Shaul and David, whether Michal was married to David. The kuliyama milva pruta dat der pruta. If you ever have a case of milva pruta, he does have the das on the pruta, and it should be Mekadeshes. But Shaul sover lechazav lemidi. Shaul said 100 foreskins are worth nothing. The David sover, no. David said they're worth a pruta. Why? Chazal kalva v'shinri. You can feed it to dogs and cats. They'll eat it. So it is worth a pruta. So this is the shita of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, that he was married to Michal. He was not married to Meirav. And therefore, there's no question how he could marry two sisters. He wasn't married to Meirav. Rabbi Yossi, who holds that he was married both to Michal and Meirav, except he married Michal after Meirav died. Hi, Tnois Ishtias Michal, my Dorshbe. We had a dig from the Pasuk. Give me my wife, Michal. Michal's my wife and not Meirav. What does Rabbi Yossi do with that Pasuk? He says both were his wives. Rabbi Yossi Latamei, Rabbi Yossi, according to Lishitase, according to his own reasoning, is not bothered with this diuk, Michal Ishti Vuloy Meirav Ishti, the son we learned in Abraisa. Rabbi Yossi, Yadarish Makros Muravit. When you have psukim that look mixed up, that something doesn't jive, it doesn't make sense, he found a way to darshan it, as we see in this case here. Because Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Vayikach HaMelech HaShnei B'nei Ritzvah Bas Aya, Asher Yodol L'Shol. He took the two sons of Ritzvah Bas Aya, which she had given birth to Shol. She was one of the wives of Shol, and she had these two children. What's their names? As Admoini Vesmabibayshas. And also, who else did he take? Veschameshes b'nei Michal, the five sons of Michal, asher yodel adriel hamuchulasi, that Michal gave birth to these five children, and the husband, the father of these children, was Adriel. So here's where you have a pasuk that's all mixed up. Vechil Adriel nasna, did he give Michal to Adriel? He held that David's not married to Michal, but he didn't give her to Adriel. He gave Merav to Adriel, v'aloi l'palti ben laish nasna. He gave Michal to Palti ben laish, d'chsev, v'shol nasnas Michal bitoy, Eishes David, she really was considered Eishes David. He gave, Shol thought she's not Eishes David. He gave her to Palti ben laish. So why does the Pasuk say that Adriel was the father of the five children of Michal? Ella. The Pasuk means, that's how Rabbi Yossi Darshan, this mixed up Pasuk. Makish Kedushe, Merav l'Adriel, l'Kedushe Michal l'Palti. We compare, of course it was Tadriel, was the real father of the five children. Of course, Merav was the mother of the five children, and Adriel was the father. So why do we say Michal to Adriel? Because we're comparing one to the other. Just like the Kedushim of Michal Lepalti were Bavera, because as Rashi brings down, Hamakadosh b'milvu pruta, we paskin dieter pruta, like David said, not like Shaul said. We do have das on the 100 skins of the Arelim, and they are worth a pruta because you can give it to dogs and cats. So therefore, when Shaul subsequently took Michal and gave her to Palti ben Laish, that was an Avera, Afkedushe merv ladriya b'Avera, the Rav Yossi holds that when Shaul gave Merav to Adriel, that was also Bavera, because she was married to David. I am a Kaddish B'milva, ain't a Kaddishas. So we'll have to say that David gave other Kess of Kedushin, not a Halvo. It wasn't the case of a Kaddish B'milva. So Rabbi Yossi Shita is that Merav was legally married to David, Michal was legally married to David, and they were not married to Palti ben Laish. Michal wasn't, and Merav wasn't married to Adriel. That's how he's going to darshan the pasuk. Memela, once you see that even though the pasuk uses Michal together with Adriel, even though Adriel wasn't her husband, it was Merav who was the wife of Adriel. So therefore, don't bring me the pasuk to know as Ishti as Michal and be medayik that Michal v'loy Merav, because we see you could have a word Michal and Michal really means Merav. Merav is the one who was married to Adriel with the five sons. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is not bothered with the diyuk of Ishti Michal and not Merav. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Nami Yaksiv es Chamesh es b'nei Michal Bashol. L'chayre, Rabbi Yossi has a good question. It says the five sons of Michal, and the husband was Adriel. Michal was never married to Adriel. So L'chayre Rabbi Yossi darshan correctly that it was Bavera, because Merav was married to David. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Korach holds that Merav was not married to David. It was a Kedushay Toz. Amalach Rabbi Yeshua will learn, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korach will learn this pasuk here according to his shita. You have a good kasha, v'chimichal yolda v'aloi merav yolda. That's your kasha. Merav is the wife of Adriel. It was her five sons. So why are you bringing in Michal? But don't answer like you're saying that we want to compare the marriage of Michal to Palti to that of Merav to Adriel, that they were both Bavera. That's not the pshat. Because she was never married, David HaMelech was never married to Merav. And therefore Merav was legally, according to Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, married to Adriel. But the pasuk wants to teach you something else. Merav Yolda, Merav gave birth to the five sons, but who raised them? Merav died. Who raised them? Michal Gidla. Michal raised them. Lefikach Nigras Hashma. That's why it's called her children, Michal's children. Lamed could teach you. She called him a Gadil Yosim B'Toich Beisoy. Malolav Akosav Keilu Yolda. Whoever raises a Yosim in his house, it's as if he gave birth to them. So we learn it. That's why it says Michal here in the pasuk, not to teach you that both marriages were bavera, but rather to teach you that a megadol yosim tach beisoy is kilu yolda. Now we have another simon, Chanina kra. Rabbi Chanina is going to learn the same limit of a megadol yosim tach beisoy from a pasuk concerning calling, vatkrena. Rabbi Yochanan is going to learn it from a pasuk veishtoy. Elazar is going to learn it from a pasuk of geula. And Shmuel is going to learn a similar halacha concerning limud when you teach someone Torah. Now the Gemara explains. Rab Chanina Amar Mehachavat Tikrana Lo Yashchein Hashem Leimar Yula Ben LeNaomi. A child was born to Naomi. V'chi Naomi Yaldav Ale Rus Yaldav was Rus's child. Ale Rus Yaldav Naomi Gidla. The same thing. Naomi was the one who raised this child of Rus. L'fikach Nekras Hashema. Therefore, it's called the child of Naomi. Rab Yoichon learns the same concept of a Megal Yasem. Amar Mehachav. The Ishta, the wife of Mered. Mered is called Ben Yefuna, as the Gemara is going to explain. He was Moreid on the atzas of the Meraglim. He rebelled against them. Ha Yehudis, his wife, whose name was Yehudis, Rashi explains, this is Bisya, the daughter of Paroi, because she was Kaifran of Avodah Zarah, of her father's Avodah Zarah. Whoever's Kaifran of Avodah Zarah is called Yehudis. Yalda, who did she give birth to? Esieret Avigdor. These are all names, Rashi says, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Eile b'nei Bisya bas Paroi, asher lakach lo Mered. Mered zekali. Mered is called. V'lam nekach shmoi Mered. Shemored batzas Meraglim. V'chi Bisya Yaldav Allah Yecheved Yalda. Yecheved was the child of the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why do you say Bisya Allah Yecheved Yalda? But who raised Moshe? Bisya Gidla L'fikach Nikra Al Shema. That's why it's called after Yehudis, who is Basya Bas Paroi. Rabbi Lezer Amir. Rabbi Lezer learns it Mehacha. Ga'alta Bizroya Amecha B'nei Yaakov Yosef Sela. You redeemed through your arm your nation, the children of Yaakov Yosef. What's Yosef doing here? He's not the father of the 12 Shvatim. V'chi Yosef Yulad V'alo Yaakov Yulad. El Yaakov Yulad V'Yosef Kilkel. Yosef was Mepharnes, all the 12 Shvatim. V'chi Nikroshma, therefore they're called after the name of Yosef. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Now Rav Shmuel learns, this is the last part of the simen, Ushmuel B'Lemudei, the same concept of Keilu Yolda by Yosem, you find if I'm a Lamed, if I teach someone Torah. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Rabbi Yosem, called Malamed Ben Chaveri Torah. Keilu, Malo Lava Kosov Keilu Yolda. So the Torah considers as if he gave birth to that person. Shenamar, how do I learn it? From Aaron and Moshe. Veil, the title this Aaron and Moshe. Uksiv, Elish Moshe Ben Aaron. The only children who are mentioned there are the children of Aaron, and yet it says these are the descendants of Moshe and Aaron. Rashi brings this Chazal in Chumash. Loimerloch, to teach you, Aaron Yolad and Moshe Limed. Aaron gave birth to these children. These were his children. Moshe taught them. Lefikach Nikra Shmeder called him the name of Moshe because he taught them Torah. Now, Sefer Chachma Shloima in Evna Esser, Simon Aleph, the first Chachma Shloima, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, says, Nistapakti, I have a suffix. B'misha Gidol Yosem Yisomer B'tach Beisa, Im Nechshev Zaki Im Puruvu. Are you Mekayim Puruvu? It says Kilu Yaldai. Says the Chacham Shlaim. It's totally the Machlokes between the Drisha and the Taz. Wherever Chazal say Ki'ilu, does that mean Mamish? Or it doesn't mean it's really actually exactly the same. It's similar, comparable. So if I learn like the Taz, that Ki'ilu means it's Mamish, like as if he would have given birth to this Yosem or Yisoyma, so then you would be Mekayim Puruvu. But if you learn like the Drisha, Ki'ilu is like, but it doesn't mean mamish, then you would not be Mekayim Mitzvah Puruvu. However, he says that if somebody had children and they died, and then he was Megal Yosem V'Yosayim B'Toch Beisay, even according to the Derisha, he would be Mekayim Puruvu. Because if the Iker Mitzvah of Puruvu is giving birth, so he had children. His wife gave birth to a child. If the Iker Mitzvah is raising the child, so when his child died, but he raised the Yosayim, so Mimela, he would be Mimanav Shech Mekayim Mitzvah Puruvu. What's interesting is that our Gemara right over here didn't just say this halach of Kilu Yoldai by raising a Yasim V'Yisayim. It also said it by Moshe and Aaron of Kol HaMelamed Ben Chaver Torah, Ma'ala Lava Kosev Kilu Yoldai. And in that Chach Mishloima, he only has the question by Yasim V'Yisayim, whether you're Mekayim Puruvu. My question is, why didn't the Chacham Shlaim have the same Shiloh if somebody teaches a child of his friend Torah that it's Kilu Yaldai? If a Melamed Chas V'Shalom, Rachman Litzlan, doesn't have children and he teaches Talmidim, is that considered as if he was Mekayim Mitzvah Puruvu? That the Chacham Shlaim doesn't seem to address. Why not? If anybody has an answer, please contact me at grossman@ou.org. Continues the Gemara. The pasuk says, "Lachain koyomar Hashem al Beis Yaakov, asher podes Avram. Avram was redeemed by Beis Yaakov. V'chi heichem asinu b'Yaakov shepod Avram. Where do we find that Yaakov redeemed Avram? Am Rav Yehuda, Shepodei Mitzar Gidl Bonim. Avram was supposed to have the tzar of raising children, as Rashi brings down, because the pasuk says, Virbesi Azaracha, and yet the many children was the lot of Yaakov. So Yaakov redeemed, he released Avram from this obligation of tzar Gidl Bonim. Behind the siv, that's what the pasuk says, Le'ata Yavish Yaakov. So we learn, Le'ata Yavish Yaakov, you, Yaakov, will not be embarrassed, may of it from your father Yitzchak, v'loyat upon of Yechavru, your face will not become white, embarrassed, may avi of it from your grandfather, because you redeemed them from Tsar Gidl Bonim. Taisus does not like Rashi's pshat, because we find by Oyved Edom, who he housed the Orom, he was given a bracha by Hashem that he had children. So we see children is not a curse, chas v'shalom. It's not a pain, but it's a wonderful thing. Oyved Edom was blessed with children. So the Air Force Tyson learns, the Gemara means here specific tzar gidl bonim concerning Yosef and his brothers because of the fight, that the jealousy that they had between them, and eventually that they went down to Golus Mitzrayim. That's the specific tzar gidl bonim that Yaakov redeemed Avram from having. Continues the Gemara. Kosef Palti, he's known as Palti ben Laish, for Kosef Paltiel, he's also known as Paltiel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Palti Shmoy, his name is Palti, v'lam nekri Shmoy Paltiel. Why is he called Paltiel? She Paltoi Kael min Avera, because Hashem saved him from an Avera. Ma'asa, he was living together, he was given by Shaul Michal. But Michal was the real wife of David HaMelech, so he was not allowed to have any relations with Michal. So Ma'asa, what did he do? He stuck a sword between him and Michal, Omar, and he said, whoever is going to have an illicit relationship here, Yedaka Becharev, he will be killed with this sword. Yedaka Becharev Zev, asked the Gemara, but don't we find that Palti acted together with Michal as a husband and wife? Vaksiva, Yelech Ito Isha, her husband went with her. The Gemara answers, Shanasala Keisha, he acted like a husband would with a wife, but they did not have relations together. Vaksiv, Ayin Pasuk says, when Palti was going with Michal, separating from Michal, as she was going to join David, it says, Holach u'bocha, he cried, Rashi brings down, Achreo, he cried following his wife. It looks like they had a close husband and wife relationship. The Gemara says, you know what he was crying about? On the mitzvah dozomenei, on the mitzvah that was going away from him. Ad bachurim, shenasu shneim kebachurim. They both were like bachurim, shalaitam utambia, that they never had a relationship that an older couple would have. They acted like bachurim, that they never had relations together. And the Gemara in tomorrow's shir is going to discuss the tremendous mesiras nefesh of Palti all those years not to do an avera with Michal, because she was really married to David and would be an isser to Eishes Ish. Reb Chaim Shmulevich in the Sefer Sichas Musar explains beautifully, what did this sword, how did this stop Palti from committing an avera? He stuck a sword in, he could pull the sword out, put it away. How did this stop it? Answers Reb Chaim Shmulevich Tzal. There's a mida which is called midas ha-histaglus, a mida where people get used to things. And sometimes when a person is in a very terrible situation, this mida of histaglus is a wonderful thing. It protects a person's sanity. For example, Reb Chaim Shmulevich says, how did those who went through World War II, those who went through the Holocaust, how did they survive? The answer is midas histaglus. They didn't become deranged from all the unbearable suffering that they went through, because they got used to it. It got slowly harder and harder and harder, and as each phase came, they got used to that phase. It started with Kristallnacht, wearing a Star of David, then the Nuremberg Laws, then into ghettos, work camps, concentration camps. By the time that they got to the concentration camps, they were used to the terrible degradation that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, heaped upon them, and they got used to it, and that's why they didn't lose their minds. So the same Midah of Estaglus, Palti ben Laish, when he first came into the house with Michal, This is an Eishes Ish. Shaul's wrong here. Hamakadosh B'milvu Pruta is Daitaya Pruta. It's worth a Pruta. You can give it to dogs and cats. So there was a Kedushin between David and Michal. This is David's wife. I'm Oster Chas Shalom to live with her. But he was afraid of the Midas Istaglus. Here the meat of Istaglus can work the opposite. You get used to it one day after another. Your defenses get worn down. And Chas Shalom was afraid that he'd finally submit to this terrible Avera. He stuck a sword in the ground. And whenever he saw that sword reminded him. It was a Zecher that reminded him, how did I feel the first day? I would never dare do the Avera. This sword has to remind me of my Hisorus at that time and prevent me. That's how the sword prevented him. By always renewing in him the memory of that first encounter that Chas V'Shalom would do a terrible Avera with Michal, and that stopped him from doing an Avera. He remained as a Bocher, never having relations with Michal. We should all learn from this. And when we get a thing of Dover of Osiris, we should do something to remind ourselves of that Osiris that we can take with it for the rest of our lives.